Hello, it is Tuesday, December 17th, and that means two things. Did I miss anything? It's also time for the Lighting Bulletin, pound for pound, the best newsletter in the lighting industry, and let's get into the news, because the United States Environmental Protection Agency has completed its rejection of scientific consensus. The agency has finalized its rejection of the endangerment finding related to greenhouse gases, which underpins the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act was instituted under Ronald Reagan and is the envy of all conservation law everywhere, not just for its impact, but for how it was built and how it was enforced. AMS Osram has released their Q4 results, which shows that revenues were up 8% over last year. That doesn't mean they made any profits, which then led to them cutting their staff by 2,000. Half of those will be from EU offices. And then they sold their sensor business. Specifically, their non-optical analog mixed sensor unit will now be with Infineon. That deal went through for about a €500 million. WAC has launched a new architectural brand. It's called WAC Architectural. Pretty good name. I'm going to say it. Lighting company names are bad. This one's fine. We also have new CEUs for LED lighting tech going through from them. Cree Lighting has extended their furlough for the 7th time. People might be at work on the 27th of February, maybe. Lighting Quotient has partnered with Vice Lighting. This new partnership is for their architectural brands. Lighting Quotient has also merged a number of brands, including Elliptar and Electrix. They'll be proceeding under the name Elliptipar. Dolls has bought Lumenture. No details on price there. Wesco has reported on their Q4, showing that revenues are at $61 billion and a dividend of $2 per share is coming. They've also updated their full-year guidance to show that they are now estimating $24 billion for the full year of 2026. In rep agency updates, Bill Brown Sales will now be repping Silvair in North America. Bell and McCoy will be buying Next Generation Lighting in Atlanta. Orion Energy has announced their quarterly earnings. Their revenues are at $21 million. We have record revenue growth at Legrand with 13% gains in over 2025. Malaysia has banned e-waste imports. This is a full ban of foreign e-waste put in by the Malaysian Anti-Corruption Commission. The United States Department of Commerce has funded Taiwanese semiconductor sector to $500 billion. This is across a number of projects, across a number of years, but yeah, $500 billion to Taiwan to build semiconductors from the U.S. And the GLA, that's the Global Lighting Association, has published new guidelines on repairability of luminaires. This is a new document to boost the circular economy. Current has opened a new Toronto distribution center. It's in Hornby, Ontario. Fino has made its lighting debut. This is a new decorative and hospitality brand from Chris Berriman, who is a 15-year veteran of the industry across all sectors. In People News, speaking of people starting new things, Kane Jagodinsky has been named the CEO of the Fountain Hills International Dark Sky Discovery Center. Andrew Wakefield, no, not that one, the one from DMF Lighting, is now a CE Pro Master. Eric Liu has been named CEO of Leadvance Canada. Dave Nielsen is now the CEO of Lumens. Tony Martel has been promoted to sales director at Visa Lighting. And the DLC, the Design Lights Consortium, has added 5 whole people to their industry advisory committee. This is outside of their normal period where they add people in September. Do they say why? No. On the tariff tracker, we have a new U.S.-Taiwan trade deal. The U.S. Congress has voted to end tariffs on Canada. That still has to pass through the Senate and across the executive desk, so it probably won't pass at all. And we have a new study that shows that 90% of tariffs are being paid by the importer, because that's how tariffs work, actually. Signify has won out over LePro. A jury has awarded $41,000 in damages over LED patents. That will probably be adjusted down, because that's how jury awards work. The U.S. Patent and Trademark Office has reinstated a Signify patent for downlights. It's valid again. This is relevant to a number of lawsuits that they are pursuing. And Invictus Lighting has sued RAB specifically over 0 to 10 volt fixtures. In events news, DMF has announced its education program for Lightapalooza. That's running today, today, and tomorrow and the next day. But you can check out the full list if you're not already there. And on March 26th, the IES will be hosting a webinar. This is specifically a webinar on a new tool for projecting the long-term LED chromaticity stability. In lighting controls, Cydia has published two new tech guides. One is for SPL compatibility in home theater audio, and the other is for human-centric lighting. Ring has ended its partnership with Flock. Flock is a company that hands over your camera data to law enforcement agencies, including ICE, without a warrant. And also, they were behind that Lost Dog Super Bowl ad that got everyone really upset about privacy. That the twin engines of the outcries is what led to that partnership ending. The Lighting Controls Academy has published two new courses, one for daylighting and one for wireless controls. These videos are free and they're live right now. In research and development, we have a new machine learning model to predict discomfort glare. This is from the Belgian University Catholique de Louvain that uses a supervised method that teaches robots to hate LED headlights as much as I do. Daylight is good for your diabetes. Everyone's diabetes, really. Well, everyone with type 2 diabetes. Everyone's type 2 diabetes. All type 2 diabetes patients benefit from daytime daylight outside in terms of balancing their glucose levels. We have a new study of Nichia Tech at the Akashi Ninju Hospital in Japan that shows that circadian intraday lighting reduces falls in hospitals. We also have a study of Korean high school students that shows that melanopic enhanced lighting at school improves cognition a bit, but did not change anyone's sleep habits or mood, possibly because they were studying teen boys in Korea. I mean, I was a teen boy once. I don't think anything could have improved my mood for those years. We have a new 2D, 3D heterojunction that maximizes perovskite electroluminescence, which means we have a new set of possibilities for efficiencies in LEDs. We also have a new way to extract rare earths, kind of. This process uses waste materials, specifically wastewater from coal mines, that would, again, allow people to extract just the rare earths from that coal dust, building on research from the University of Tennessee from about 7 years ago. On the light pollution side of things, light pollution has been linked with seasonal allergies. That's right. The more light there is at night, the worse your allergies are. This is in part due to the trend of urbanists only buying male trees as opposed to only buying female trees, which would reduce the amount of pollen and still not lead to fruit landing on sidewalks. Anyway, we also have new research that shows that lighting is a specific damage to twilight activity in insects. Noir Lab has launched a new citizen science project where they are asking Midwesterners in the U.S. to try to observe the Orion's Belt constellation and when they can see all stars in it. SpaceX's plans to add so many satellites to low orbit will definitely blind the Hubble telescope. We have a proposed deep sea mining operation from Japan that would spread light pollution to the ocean floor. Light at night alters shark hormones. It also changes the behavior of caracals. That is a South African mid-sized predatory wildcat. All wildcats are predators. I'm sorry for saying it that way. And also light pollution harms the glands of newts. A proposed Chilean energy plant that would have threatened the Paranal Observatory will not be built. This is a huge victory for the crusade against light pollution. Dark Sky International is calling for action against satellite pollution related to, again, SpaceX expanding their network and possibly blinding the Hubble Space Telescope. Advocates have renewed their protests against lighting being installed on the Rio Grande River in Texas. We have new AI for dimming of street lighting during migration season that might actually improve matters. Copenhagen in Denmark has switched their street lighting to red light, and it seems to be working. And Maze Village in Belgium, which is near a dark sky sanctuary, has just turned off their street lighting entirely. They've decided they don't need it. They'd rather have the park operate at its best. The Chattahoochee Oconee National Forest has been recognized by Dark Sky International, as has the village of Thorington Street in Suffolk. Humboldt, California has passed new lighting regulations. Lake of Bays, Ontario is seeking new bylaw updates in terms of exterior lighting. Texans are beginning their pushback on data centers specifically related to their energy use, their water use, and their use of lighting at night, as has Washington Township, Michigan. They are also protesting a data center. A Layton, Utah man is seeking changes to street lighting near his home, citing existing light trespass laws. Colorado Springs, Colorado will be home to a new LDS temple. That's the Church of Latter-day Saints. These churches tend to have a lot of uplight overnight now. That's just part of the design. And one of the ways you try to prevent one from being built is claiming light pollution will make the whole thing worse. In Palmer Lake, Colorado, they have blocked the building of a Buc-ee's. Buc-ee's are very large gas stations that also add light pollution to a neighborhood. Burn, Texas has adopted dark sky lighting regulations. In the Yorkshire Dales in the UK, a number of villages have updated their lighting ahead of the Yorkshire Dales Dark Sky Festival. And in Michigan, the Aurora Chasers, this is a organization who chase the Aurora Borealis, they have launched their own Capture the Dark photography contest. If you're in the area, you can take a pic and maybe win a prize. Otherwise, you can follow that just to see what the pics look like. In indoor horticultural news, a survey says that floriculture sustainability is differing by industry and sector. Energy resources integration and microclimates incorporated have tested new controls for growers. Grocer has rebooted their root camp training program. We have 25 acres of growing space being built in Fort Valley, Georgia. And four Dutch growers are partnering on heat, energy, and CO2 to manage all of that together. In local updates, New Orleans is seeking $222 million from FEMA for repairs to their lighting grid. New York State will begin enforcing their new energy code on the 30th of March. New Jersey has published a report on their utility efficiency program and how much they've saved over the past year. And back to New Orleans to say that copper thieves hit a pump station and made off with a great deal of wire and also diesel fuel. I don't think FEMA will cover that either. National City, California is dealing with streetlight outages. Los Angeles, California is increasing their streetlight maintenance budget by about 10%. Also, they have installed their first solar-powered street light project. In El Paso, Texas, they have launched a new intersection safety program we have a nonprofit group buying lamps and benches for St. Louis, Missouri bus stops. In Benton, Kentucky, we have a new state grant for a senior center renovation project. Kansas City, Missouri is funding renovations at the Jazz Museum. Rushford, Minnesota has failed to fund school projects this year. Stewart Electric has donated lighting to Hartzell High in Alabama. We also have new grants going ahead for businesses in Orange County, Florida. We have new park lighting going up in Carroll City, Iowa. Avon, Ohio has okayed new Little League field lighting, and a jail in Riverhead, New York has scored $18 million for repairs, including their lighting there. Internationally, we have a new plan for bridge lighting in Glasgow that will be natural and subtle. Also, Africa is leading the world in solar energy growth. Most of those solar panels are being bought from China. In sports reports, Concordia University has deployed new LED Vance fixtures on their fields. Lindsey Nelson Stadium has completed their renovations. And if you either caught the Super Bowl halftime show or the Olympics opening ceremony and were really impressed by the lighting in the stands and how that all worked, including little handheld lights, K-pop style, that synced up with everything going on during the ceremony, one company from Quebec did both. Take a look at PixMob and how they lit both those events. Lastly, a street light was found halfway up a Welsh mountain, and no one knows why. I've been Scott Walker. I want to thank you for your time, your attention. Please enjoy your week. Please leave a rating or review or tell someone who can buy ads on this, because I've only got a few weeks of runway on this project without an ad sale. I'm just going to say it. Otherwise, take care of yourself. See ya.